This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
There we go. Got a thumbs up from the gallery over there. A phenomenal thumbs up. All right. You gotta get two thumbs up there. Well, like the Fonz, you know. Hey.
Before we start, Milwaukee!
Oh, Milwaukee!
Are you ready?
It's the drugs from my generation, and it's a sin. The gods, the fiends, the fraud, they're messing with me. Come on!
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary!
Let's get it out!
Move to the music, play that fucking music.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner
of the COVID United States.
Of them COVID Americas. And I am joined, as always, by the other half of the world's greatest tag team. Never. It's him. It is him. It doth be science that that's DPP.
It's crapping in PC.
Well, let's bring in the third member of this triumphant trifecta of triangular podcasting. Not a lot's crapping in, by the way, DPP. All Let's right. bring in the third part of this alphabet soup of a podcast. Thank you very much, the one and only Wildfire Tommy Rich. He's phenomenal. He's funky. He's phenomenally funky fresh, AJ Velez.
And it's a great week. We have a lot to talk about, I think, right?
We got plenty to talk about. So before we do that, let's get loosened up here and play What You Drinking.
Drink it in, man. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Pour my beer down the sink. I got more in the trunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. And I'm going to be drunk till the next time I'm drunk. I walk in the bar and the...
So... I think I got the last two 12-packs of the Sierra Nevada 40th anniversary over at the old liquor store. And I got them for $12.99 for all 24 bottles. So
what happened?
It was funny because I think that's what they had left, and they had a closeout up front when you walk out. But I walk in, and I didn't see what's up past the registers right away. So I kind of went back and looked at where I grabbed beer from and all the selection. And I grabbed something I hadn't had in a while, and I grabbed a 12-pack of something that I have all the time. It was, I grabbed the Navaja by Half Acre, which is a double IPA, 4-pack. of pints, and then I grab the 12-pack of the Voodoo Ranger. So I get up there, and I'm checking out, and my guy's checking me out. We know each other. What's up? How's it going? Blah, blah, blah. And I look over, and I'm like, really, $12.99? He's like, yeah, that's for the case. And I'm like, and I just got done bringing up the last transaction, and I pulled the card back out. I go, yep, give me that, too. So I had to stack that on top of there. I'm walking out with 40 beers. So I'm good for at least, you know, tonight and tomorrow. No, just kidding. I'm good for a while. Plus, a friend of mine at work who we exchanged beers off, and he repaid me a 4-pack this week. So, you know, plenty of beer here in Tony's refrigerator.
Fridge is loaded.
That's what I'm drinking. 40th anniversary. AJ, what's going on at the Blaz household this evening?
Well, as I said in the beginning of the month, we got this big old bottle of tequila.
Jose.
So I'm going with some tequila and Sprite. It's actually pretty good, not going to lie. But we are almost done with Drinco de Mayo tequila. So who knows? Maybe we might finish it today.
There you go. Fun fact, that's what Michael Jordan was actually drinking during the documentary. If you watched The Last Dance, which you can find over 7.5 hours of content right there on thechairshot.com from myself, Christopher Platt, Ray Cash, who are now known as the Three-Man Weave, and you can check that out, the inaugural episode, this Tuesday. We're going to cover everything sports, so you know you love me. I know you love me. Well, I just keep telling myself that. But I know you love Platt, and I know you love Cash. So
see, I have one problem with that. You didn't call yourself the Triangle Offense?
No, we like the three. We thought about the triangle, but we just covered the triangle. We figured the Three-Man Weave is a little better.
Fair enough.
I dig the Three-Man Weave.
We had a discussion about it. And we now have a Twitter account, so follow us at 3_manweave. It's official. DP, what the fuck are you drinking?
I feel bad. I'm just finished. We had a late lunch. We were working out in the yard and then just ran out to get some food, so I'm just finishing up. I got an IBC root beer. And
there you go.
Once this is just good about done here, I'll be pouring myself probably a Becky Special.
I know you don't drink Captain anymore, or at least you don't drink it as much as you used to, but did you ever have the Captain barrels with the root beer and Captain?
No, I never had those.
Okay.
But yeah, Captain Morgan's kind of off the diet now that it basically destroys my stomach anytime I have one, so.
Gotcha. All right, folks, well, that's what we've been drinking. Now, let's tell everybody what's happening this week on episode 229 of the DWI podcast.
Well, we're waiting. Well, it's the big show.
Sweet. Fucking angels, folks. Fucking angels. Sound like angels. Angels of hell. This week on the DWI podcast, right here, we got the Big Show sheet reads as such. It's this WWE talk, IC tourney. I guess we're going to talk a little bit about that. I have a little bit of a breaking news announcement that is going to result in breaking news. You'll figure it out when I say it. We're going to preview Double or Nothing that's going on this weekend. AJ's got a little bit of coverage from the NWA Carneyland situation. We're also going to get a 3-pack of trivia from a main man over there. And a last call about four champions battling it out this Sunday. DPP, ring the bell. All right, WWE. We decided what we want to talk about this week is the Intercontinental Tournament, okay? So, I got the old bracket right here. We've already had Daniel Bryan defeat Drew Gulak. We have already had Elias get a victory over King Corbin. Now tonight, Jeff Hardy will face Sheamus. The winner will face Daniel Bryan. And on the other side of the bracket, AJ Styles takes on Shinsuke Nakamura. The winner there faces Elias. Gentlemen, let's start with Hardy and Sheamus. AJ, I see you chomping at the bit. Where do you got this match going tonight? Who's going to advance to take on Daniel Bryan in the semifinals of the Intercontinental Title Tournament?
Well, if people have been paying attention to SmackDown, Jeff Hardy's been doing a lot of the redemption arc that he's going to be great again, be the Hardy that everyone remembers, which it's nice to see. It's nice to watch him understand, like, hey, I had my mistakes, and I'm here to try to right the wrongs with it and everything. So Sheamus being Sheamus, he's kind of being that bully character again. He's trying to say, ah, it doesn't matter, you're just going to do stuff. So I think Jeff Hardy should probably get it, and good old DB versus Jeff Hardy in the next round.
That's kind of where I have this going, because I think Sheamus comes back and costs Jeff Hardy in the next round. I bet you DP was just about to say that, too.
Well, they've been building this whole Jeff Hardy-Sheamus thing, and it just seems like one match here in the tournament is probably not going to end said feud, so that's, I could totally see that happening, whether it's in the next round or the finals. I could see him definitely doing that. I think leading
so you
towards...
Got, you...
I got Daniel... Yeah, Jeff Hardy. Well, this one going.
We all got Hardy. We all got Hardy tonight.
Yeah.
So, folks, when you listen to this tomorrow afternoon, you'll know whether or not we sounded like jackasses predicting this tournament. Hours before SmackDown goes live on Fox. That's where we're at right now. We're 5 p.m. Eastern Friday night, having some drinks. DWI podcast. Any other thoughts on the Sheamus Hardy thing? That's what we're gonna move on.
Yeah.
We're gonna move on. That's gonna do it. Let's go over to the other side of the bracket. I think it's pretty obvious, I think even more so than the Sheamus and Hardy thing, that we're gonna see AJ Styles come away with a victory tonight over Shinsuke Nakamura. Why would Nakamura be in the semifinals of a tournament that they really didn't give him a go with the title when he had it before, right? I mean, unless this is a way to put that back on him, I really don't think so. DP, you agree that we got AJ going over tonight?
Yeah, it kind of seems a little ridiculous to why bother taking him.
Not you.
But, damn it. Oh. It's never me.
Why bother having Nakamura go into the farther into this tournament than they could have just kept the title on him? And I don't see him doing anything else besides that. So I like AJ in this one. I'm a big fan of potentially AJ coming out with this Intercontinental title as well in the whole tournament. But definitely got AJ. I definitely got AJ. AJ.
And much like the name, I will also stick to it as well. It would be nice seeing Elias maybe come out with like an upset in the semifinals against AJ, but if not, AJ winning the belt would be really nice. And we all know Shinsuke and AJ can put on matches, especially when Intercontinental matches are in order. Wrestle Kingdom 10.
Bless you.
Let's finish the bracket here and make some predictions, okay? So Daniel Bryan versus, we all have the same final four. Daniel Bryan, Jeff Hardy, and AJ and Elias. I see AJ getting to the final here. As much as I'd love to see Elias win this tournament, I'll say Elias beats AJ, he's winning the whole thing, but I'm picking AJ Styles to be in the finals of the Intercontinental title tournament.
I'm also going to go with AJ Styles. I'm torn on the other side a little bit.
Rip torn?
Maybe. I'm torn on the other side. I think AJ versus either one of those two would be an amazing match. I won't use phenomenal. It's going to be an amazing match. We haven't seen Jeff Hardy and AJ. I could see them waiting on that. You know, maybe after Hardy's done with the Sheamus feud. And they could go back to having Jeff Hardy and AJ Styles in a feud, but and then just have Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles here in the finals. But I kind of like AJ Styles versus Jeff Hardy in the finals with, you know, that Sheamus interference there at the end to kind of cost Jeff Hardy the match. And now they got, and that gives them opportunities to go with all different sorts of storylines there.
I'm going to say AJ as well. So we're 3-for-3 still. The cute thing that I could probably see if they decide to keep going with Undertaker haunts AJ, there's only one title that Taker hasn't had for the Grand Slam.
Oh, boy.
Just saying.
I don't see Taker winning the Intercontinental title, but you are on the right track, as in AJ hasn't held the Intercontinental title.
That's
so true. I do have Daniel Bryan going over with Sheamus interference there on Jeff Hardy. And you get Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles. And what better way to kind of reintroduce the Intercontinental title back to the people and make it very important with this, you know, the short list of matches you could watch every single day would be AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan is on there, right? I mean, you could watch these guys wrestle every single day for the rest of your life until they're 50, 60 years old, and you'd see something great every single time. So why not give the belt that match, and why not give AJ Styles a real nice run with the Intercontinental title?
Yeah, I completely agree. AJ, always the working man in every single company he's in, so working man title for the working man.
If he beats Elias, which I'm predicting. Otherwise, I got Elias.
If he beats Elias, if not, I'm pretty sure we're all jumping on the Elias bandwagon.
So basically,
is that your backup?
That's your backup?
That's my backup. I'd say in order of winning the Intercontinental title for me would be, I'll give you my top three. I would say AJ, then Elias, then possibly Sheamus. But that's a long way away from what we all predicted him not winning any matches. So anybody got their top three predictions for winning the whole tournament? AJ?
I'm going to go with Styles, number one, two, Elias. I'll give three to Hardy.
EP?
That's my three right there. We pretty much got the winner of AJ versus Elias coming out of this thing. Assuming AJ Styles gets past Nakamura.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense for a lot of the other guys unless there's some kind of storyline woven in. You know, you run down the list and Daniel Bryan, I mean, he's there to make it a great match, I think. You could give it to Hardy. You could give it to Sheamus. But yeah, AJ and Elias make the most sense. So, all right. I hope you folks enjoyed a little Intercontinental title tournament talk. I had to say that. It was kind of cheesy, but we'll just go to a commercial and you'll kind of remember a little bit.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Speaking of breaking
folks,
news.
Yeah, go ahead.
Breaking news, we finished the tequila for Drinco de Mayo.
There you go. Well, I do have a couple other things I do want to get to here. First off, before we get rolling here, a couple more bills to pay, a couple more people to pop off on. I want to say, first of all, thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net. Now, I don't know if this is going to be valid tomorrow because it says today and we're recording the day before we're going on. But if you listen to this show, give it a whirl tomorrow. I'm not really sure. I would imagine it's going to work the whole weekend. So you want to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and get yourself a real nice t-shirt from right here. And everybody from thechairshot.com, we have so many different selections. You'll be surprised once you go there. I mean, hashtag journalism. We got Save Tag Team Wrestling. We got the nice chair shot shirt. We got Miranda Queen of Soft Style going on over there. So save on a chair shot t-shirt today by taking advantage of at PWTs. That's on the Twitter. You can follow them. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. You're going to get 20% off when you use the promo code Memorial. That's why I'm thinking it's all weekend, folks. Unsure where to start? Use your head and grab a classic logo tee. That's what we're suggesting. Check out the ChairShot logo. Head to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Use the promo code Memorial.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, gentlemen. We are back. We're ready to rock. I want to get into a Double or Nothing preview here. I think everybody's kind of looking forward to this pay-per-view from AEW. I've really enjoyed their television for the past few weeks. They had kind of a clunker a couple weeks ago, but the week before that was excellent. I thought the go-home show this week was really good. I enjoyed a lot of it. I'm really enjoying Arn Anderson and Jake Roberts getting in the ring this week and cutting a great promo together, you know. But why don't we do this? Why don't we run down the card and you guys can interweave your thoughts on the storylines that we've seen on TV and everything that's going on with these guys. So the pre-show match is going to be a number one contender tag team match. And that is going to be Private Party versus best friends, Chuck Taylor and Trent. I wish Trent would use his last name still, Trent Beretta. Is it just Trent? I mean, that doesn't really work for me. But anyway, see, I told you we'd weave our thoughts into the card as we went. Who would you guys like to see become the number one contender for the tag team titles? Because to me, you have two really good tag teams. One is going to give you a little bit more exciting match. The other one is going to give you a little bit better storyline and promos. AJ, what are your thoughts here on the tag team division? Who do you want to see be the number one contenders?
The team that I would love to see as the number one contenders actually is the Best Friends, because we see them every week doing singles or even tag team, or even three people, because they have Orange Cassidy in the group now. We really haven't seen much of Private Party on actual television. I'm not 100% sure on Dark, but Private Party, really good tag team for NEW when they did their show. If you haven't seen them, they're amazing. They're fun. They're a lot of fun. High energy, high charisma. Good old tag team with the gin and juice finisher, but I still have Best Friends coming out on top with this. Chucky T and Trent Beretta with Orange Cassidy freshly squeezed.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough one because, like you said, we haven't seen Private Party on regular television. Like I said, I'm not sure about Dark either. But they were an awesome tag team when they first introduced the tag titles and had the tournament. I felt like these guys could have won the thing, and that would have been really, really cool to see them actually win the tournament and be the first tag team champions, but they didn't go that way. And just because of the fact, I guess, that they haven't been on television makes me lean towards the Best Friends at winning this thing. I think they've been obviously a little more profiled recently, and having Orange Cassidy on the side there as the additional entertainment is always fun to watch. And I, as well, will take the Best Friends to become the number one contenders.
I'm kind of torn here. Like the point that DP makes about Private Party not being on TV and the things that they're trying to push with the Best Friends, like, and the point I'm about to make, you could also apply to the Best Friends, right? But I think they're kind of more established. I think the bigger rub would be if Private Party ended up, you know, being the number one contender and winning those tag team titles, right? Because they're not being defended this weekend. You got Omega and why is my
Page.
Name? Hang yes, all I could think about was him running across the football field like Forrest Gump on Wednesday. and then his only thing he said the whole time is once they were done whooping their ass and they're across from each other, y'all get. That's what he said. That was his line for this week. Y'all get. Man, I'm really loving what he. To me, he's their most valuable talent. But what a big rub that would be for a Private Party off of Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. Like I said, you can apply that to Best Friends too, but I think Best Friends is already further along there. So I'll pick Best Friends. I would really like to see it be Private Party.
What do you think about just Kenny? I know that's kind of been a slow burn. Not. Yeah, that's your opinion, man.
Sorry.
Just the whole, obviously it's been a very slow burn, it seems, of the Adam Page, Kenny Omega, and it seems like, you know, Hangman Page is going to be, you know, going against them at some point, just based on everything they've been doing. How do you guys like them as tag team champions, or would you rather see them lose them sooner than later and start this whole thing?
I'd rather see them lose it, because they started off with AEW saying that they have the best tag team division, and they haven't really done much with the tag team division. Like, the Lucha Bros are doing their own thing, single. I don't even know what Pentagon's doing. And then the tag team champions are Hangman and Kenny, who are a mixed up tag team. And they, what was the only people that they faced other than SCU was the Young Bucks. So having a legitimate tag team would be nice to have, but that's just me.
Well, let's move on here. Let's talk about some of the other matches on the card. Let's go over the women's division here. Dr. Britt Baker taking on Chris Statlander. You know, these are two competitors that I don't know. One's much better in the ring than the other, but no one really in AEW's women's division has been able to showcase themselves as a very good women's wrestler. And I think that's really unfortunate. I don't know whether it's a lack of them, you know, practicing together or getting their timing out, or they just don't have people that can go in there and call matches against each other. But it just seems really bad and like all the time.
I wonder if that's the case. Maybe that's that they just don't. There's nobody that's a good ring general, because it seems like they have some talented women there, but they just don't seem to get it going. And nothing.
And you ask yourself the question:
good.
Why is Brandi Rhodes not in the ring more? Well, I don't know. If you were Brandi Rhodes, would you want to get in the ring with these fucking idiots?
No, especially when Nia Rose almost broke Britt Baker's leg there, or whatever happened there on Wednesday.
I was about to say, I thought it said that she did do something to her ACL when Nyla steamrolled into her leg.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's scary, you know, it's tough.
I don't understand what the amount of talent that's on the indie scene and the amount of talent that's elsewhere, that they couldn't have come up with a better women's division. I know the person that they were relying on to probably carry the division is not there. And I wish her the best of luck. Hopefully we can get to talk to her on the air instead of just off the air. But shout out to Kylie Rae. I just don't see it there. I understand maybe it's not. Maybe they said, you know what, for the first however long, we're not really worried about that division. And that's kind of how it's going. But that's how it comes off to me.
The only thing that I feel like they're missing is someone with a veteran presence. Like, they had it with Awesome Kong, but then I don't remember exactly what happened with her. I don't know if like it was contract dispute or a showing of appearance, but they need a veteran body.
To me, NWA has two people that would be perfect for AEW, would be Melina and Thunder Rosa. I mean, you talk about someone that's been around forever and then someone else that actually can work in the ring. You know, not to say Melina can't, but Thunder Rosa is one of the better female workers, in my opinion, especially now that she's incorporated more of a, you know, MMA style, considering she did have her MMA debut as well. So there's people out there that I don't understand. And I'm not talking about people that are in other places, but people like the people I just mentioned that have credibility, can work in the ring. You know, they can cut a promo. People know who they are. It's just like, they don't have to win, but they can show these girls in this women's division how to actually have a good match, because that's what they're missing. You can't start a good storyline at the beginning of a company without having at least good matches. Like, you need to have B matches at the worst.
Yeah, talent can only take you so far. You know, that's the thing. Is you can be good and everything, but if you can't make the match sell and do it correctly, then it's not going to work, and you don't have enough people to do that.
Let's get to the championship. No DQ, no count out. For the women's title, obviously. Hikaru Shida. Do we see her taking that title away from Nyla Rose? I hope so. I'll predict it. I say some way or another, by hook or crook, she gets it done. She's someone that could be better in the ring. She's one of their better in-ring talents. So hopefully maybe they capitalize on that and get her to get some confidence and get some of these ladies into some better matches.
Yeah, I see Nyla Rose hanging on to this thing. I just, at this point, I don't have any confidence in any of the other ones to take it. Like, you know, yeah, she does really good, you know, looks really good, but then, you know, she can help some of those other people. Like you said, you can have other matches with her where it's not title related, where you got Nyla Rose, who's supposed to be this dominant force here, basically. And I just, until they really come up with somebody popular enough to take it from her, I think she's just going to hang on to it for a while.
I feel like they're going to drop it to Shida. I mean, the whole, hey, look, here, I got my kendo stick back. That'll probably play into the DQ match. But we haven't seen Nyla in, what, 2 weeks prior to this? Like, the last 2 weeks was the first that we've seen Nyla in God knows how long. So it's kind of when the champion's not there majority of the time. She just showed up, and it's like, Hikaru has an undefeated streak, which idiotically got broken on Wednesday, which just looked like a botch and a half, but it's not discrediting anyone. But it's, you know, they're building people up, but it's like Tony said, it's just, it's not good wrestling, really. It's, oh, and did Britt actually get hurt? She's holding her leg a lot. Oh, and they missed, like, this wheel kick, and it looks bad, and it's just sloppy, and it's hard to watch, but maybe Shida can bring them up a little bit. Like everyone said, she's a good in-ring talent. She can go. It's just the rest of the division's kind of lackluster.
Well, that's enough of that lackluster conversation. Let's do a 180 and talk about something that could provide us that is my dark horse to have a really good match on the card. And it's one of the late announced matches. Given enough time, I could see this not coming off well in addition to what I just said, but Dustin Rhodes taking on Sean Spears. I don't like what Sean Spears has done since he's been there, but hopefully they got some plans for him down the road. The guy can work. The guy can talk. I mean, it's too bad he couldn't keep his old gimmick and do that, because that was working with a lot of the fans that really like AEW. But what are your thoughts, AJ? Dustin Rhodes, Sean Spears. I mean, it has the makings. You put all the mixins in the bowl and stir it up. It should be a good B+, A- match if given time to cook.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Sean Spears is a great person to have in there. And Dustin, he's 50 and he can still go. Like, there's no drop from him at all. So that's definitely going to be one of the better, if not the best, match on the card. I don't like the whole Sean Spears is trying to look for a tag team partner thing, because it's heavily hinted to MJF, but we'll see, especially with Tully in his corner. We'll see how everything plays out.
What did we say a couple weeks ago? That Dustin Rhodes was going to make Lance Archer look like $1 million? I mean, and that delivered like crazy, and that's what Dustin Rhodes does. Like you said, he's 50 years old and still looks like he's one of the best workers in the business right now. It's crazy. And I see nothing but that happening again. Sean Spears is great in the ring as well. So I love that they added this, because it's just going to be an extra awesome wrestling match that, yeah, could definitely steal the pay-per-view.
You speak of MJF. He's taken on Jungle Boy. They had a run-in this week. Wardlow was out there. Marco Stunt was taken on MJF. Marco Stunt gets taken out by MJF. And afterwards, some more punishment was inflicted via Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy down to the ring. Wardlow and Luchasaurus got in each other's face a couple times, and Wardlow's dumbass tripped over the fucking step before he went up the ramp. That was great. Your thoughts on the rivalry here between MJF, Wardlow against, you know, you got, what do we got? Jurassic Express, right?
There we go.
Yeah, Jurassic Express. There we go. Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Marco Stunt.
I'm excited for this one. I think it's going to lead to just more matches from all of these guys. Because like you said, there's everything with Wardlow and Luchasaurus too. So I could see some tag matches coming up and everything like that. I love the feud. I think it works perfectly. I think the whole Jurassic Express are actually some really good workers. And I think it's going to benefit a guy like MJF, who's a really good heel, plays a good character, and can definitely get some, you know, exposure with this and get over more as a heel by taking, you know, that team down here eventually. I like Jungle Boy coming out with kind of like an upset win here to set up some more matches going into the future with these guys, with tag matches and stuff. So I kind of see him getting some kind of, you know, roll up, loop, you know, 1-2-3 kid kind of victory. I'll throw it out there. There you go. You like the 1-2-3 kid. 1-2-3 kid kind of victory, and surprise them, and then they get, you know, he gets beat down, and out comes, you know, Luchasaurus and the rest of them, and they have a nice feud for a while here. I kind of like that path.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, DP. I mean, having MJF, the cocky, arrogant heel that he is, and Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt, the lovable, plucky underdogs that, you know, they look like they don't belong, but they're here and they're making an impact and all that. So I would love to see Jungle Boy actually get the win here. just as long as if there's an aftermath beatdown, MJF can actually hit the punch with the ring and not just punch hair like he did on Wednesday. Because that was difficult to watch. I know we said the Wardlow tripping on the steps, but just completely whiffing on the head and just moving hair, that... ugh.
I got MJF winning here, but I expect a great match. I'm really looking forward to this card. You know, I brought that up at the beginning. I mean, there's a lot of cool matches on this card. There's a lot of guys that can go. There's a lot of good pairings. This is one of those at the top of the list for me as well. Something that's not at the top of the list for me, though, and if there ever was a championship mid-card match, in my opinion, let's do this. Let's have another edition right now because I want to ask you guys a very important question.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Will Jon Moxley defending the AEW Championship versus Brody Lee be the main event, the last match of this pay-per-view? AJ Blaz, yes or no?
I'm very old school in thinking that...
AJ Blaz, yes or no?
No.
Yes or no?
Yeah, brother.
And that's been another edition.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
That was PC Tony of the segment yelling at you, not me. That's a different PC Tony.
Oh, that's a completely different man. Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's the Tony the dude.
I'm used to it.
There's rules. AJ, there's rules. This is what's your opinion, man? Not Nam, okay? There's rules here. Much like bowling, there's rules here. All right. I don't think it's going to be the main event. Let's actually talk about it, though. I feel like Brody Lee doesn't stand a chance in hell in keeping that belt that he stole from Jon Moxley already. AJ, what do you think?
Hell no. There's no way. They just got him in. There's no way that they're going to just randomly go, hey, you guys fought for the Intercontinental title before? Yeah, AEW now. But this time... Brody's gonna get no. Moxley is gonna mop the floor with him. 1, 2, 3. I don't care how many dark order numbers you get in one through fucking a bazillion. Doesn't matter. Moxley wins. Just no.
Do you think how many whistles and bells and sirens and confetti and all this other shit went off when they actually made the bazillionth dark order member? Like, oh, hey, you're a bazillion. You're number bazillion. Dark Order, no. Confetti cannons and t-shirt cannons. Jello holes, staplers in them.
You're number 10. You're the handpicked one. Why isn't he number 1 then if he's the handpicked? Do numbers not make sense?
Yeah, I'm very disappointed, actually, that they're having this match so early on in the whole thing, just because Brody Lee just came in, and I think they could do a lot more building up with him.
Pay-per-view doesn't even need this match, right? They could have had the contract signing for this match on the pay-per-view and then had the match on TV to boost TV numbers. I mean, we're not talking about Hogan and Goldberg at the fucking midst of his streak and the height of the NWO. Give me a goddamn break. Sponsored by Kit Kat. Go ahead.
No. Since we already talked about The Last Dance, no, it's going to be Rodman and Hogan versus Diamond Dallas Page and Malone. Yep.
Yeah, it's tough because Moxley just got the title. I love actually him keeping it. I'm on board with him winning this thing because they just can't take it off Moxley that quickly, and just the fact that they could build up Brody Lee to be such a bigger contender for this thing with leading the Dark Order, they could have built this up a lot bigger and waited down the line because Brody Lee winning the title at some point, I think, is going to happen. And I think in his first match probably should happen, but this is almost like, you know, what they did with The Fiend. You're backed into a corner and you can only do one thing, basically, and you're kind of hurting Brody Lee by doing this, by having him in this match more than you're going to help him, I think.
I mean, could we see a DQ here and Moxley wins, but Brody Lee walks away and keeps the title because the whole fucking Dark Order is out there? I mean, this story could get continued on like that. I hope that's what happened. I think to me that's what do the most justice, but then you can't put that at the end of the card, I don't think, unless that's how you end it with like a cliffhanger, somebody shows up Wednesday and watches. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I hope they do it justice. Do you guys have any last thoughts here on the AEW title match?
Not really.
Negative.
Just if they put it, if it's the main event, that's just old school thinking.
All right. Well, let's get to something that I think is even more interesting, and that's who is going to earn a future title shot at the AEW championship, the casino ladder match. We got Darby Allin, we got Colt Cabana, we got Orange Cassidy, freshly squeezed, hopefully, Rey Fénix, Scorpio Sky, Kip Sabian, Frankie Kazarian. I always like look at Kazarian's name and I want to say Kazarian. All right, Luchasaurus and Drew Gulak.
No
way.
I don't think that's confirmed. I think that's just a placeholder.
It's on Wikipedia.
You can't believe everything that's on Wikipedia. I'm looking at the same thing, and I don't believe
when
that
I had this. When I had the same Wikipedia listings of matches when I did Bodice War on Wednesday, there was a mystery person there. Somebody spilled something. I'll bet dollars to donuts it's Drew Gulak. I'm hoping it's Drew Gulak. This gets us into the conversation. Am I right? Along with Wikipedia. If we're not, this is not confirmed, who do you guys want to see as the mystery entrant?
Oh, boy. I don't know the roster well enough.
How about somebody that's not in? Somebody. There's plenty of people that are free agents right now.
Yeah, the problem is I don't think their no-compete clauses are expired or anything. That's the problem, because I would love to see a Rusev come in here. But
I thought a large majority of the people that got cut on that Black Wednesday and everything else were, that was it. You're gone. You can go compete whenever you want.
Oh, I just assumed that they usually have a, 90 days or whatever where you can't do anything, but you might be right. I hope you're right. Cause I would like to see them, start coming in a little bit, at least a few guys or something.
As nice as Rusev wants to be, me being the NWA guy, I know that Tasha Steelz went to Impact literally the same day that they decided to show the go-home show that they were supposed to have for the Crockett Cup. I wouldn't mind seeing Ricky Starks actually be the mystery person if it's not Gulak. Good old NWA television champion, the inaugural one in this new regime that they had. So... who knows?
I mean,
if it's not
it's not Drew Gulak, but if whoever it may be, I mean, being that it's a mystery partner, do you kind of put them as the front runners to win this thing, AJ? I don't know.
It's possible, because, I mean, so many names, like Drew Gulak might be a thing, or someone from a different company, or even from Black Wednesday that we had prior. I know one thing that I constantly keep seeing is Sting, possibly, because he's not under contract, but I highly, highly doubt that, unless he really wants to make his return to TNT.
I'm leaning towards Darby Allin winning this thing. I think they've been doing a lot more with him than anybody else as far as this kind of group of people that are in here goes. So I have him as kind of my pick to win this thing. Because he could definitely put on a good match, whoever the champion may be at the time. I'm assuming if it's going to be somebody like him, it's probably going to be after Jon Moxley finally drops the title.
Right, but who are the only two heels in this match? Kip Sabian and Rey Fénix. It could have been Rey Fénix. I know he got he had a pretty bad bump on Wednesday. Looks like he's still okay to go. I wouldn't be surprised to see Rey Fénix do it here. My pick is Drew Gulak, though. I think he's going to be in the match. I think he can be a good heel. I think he can incorporate that by losing by DQ to Moxley. Moxley keeps his title run, and Gulak's another guy that can work really well with who, Lord knows who. I mean, maybe Drew Gulak and Sean Spears end up being tag team partners, right? I'm gonna buy in on the Drew Gulak thing. I really think that would be pretty cool, especially since he got a lot of Uncle Mo coming with him. From where he was at towards the end of his WWE run, I'm so surprised they let him go, to be honest with you. I thought that there's other people that were less useful there that they could have let go. So Yeah, I'm just looking forward to a really good match there. That, to me, could be a main event, but I don't think it will be. Let's talk about the Stadium Stampede match. When will Roman Reigns return? Say that. When will Roman Reigns return? Try and say that 5 times fast.
No, I'm good.
I heard this on Wednesday. I'm good.
Yeah, I was just going to say, since I fucked up on Stadium Stampede match, when will Roman Reigns return? Yeah. All right. We got Adam Page, Kenny Omega, Matt Hardy, Matt Jackson, and Nick Jackson, the Elite, taking on the Inner Circle, Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, Sammy Guevara, Santana, and Ortiz. Do you guys feel like I do in that watching Wednesday, they gave a little bit too much away?
By having them do some stuff in the out in the stadium there? Yeah.
That's my first part to the question. And the second part of the question is, do you think this will be more of a cinematic match that it was taped already and they're just going to kind of play it in spots throughout the card? Or do you think they're actually going to film them live fighting through the entire stadium?
I feel like they probably are going to record this thing ahead of time. I don't know if it's going to be the whole thing or whatever, because I don't know where this is going to end, right? You have no idea how this is going to play out completely. So, I guess they didn't really give a lot away, because they do that same thing with the Money in the Bank ladder matches and things like that, where they have those big brawls or they bring out ladders and show someone climb up the ladder and all that stuff too. So, you know, that's just kind of the thing that wrestling seems to do always, is give you this goofy preview of, you know, here's what we're going to do. This is exactly what we're going to do 2 days from now or whatever. So, I don't know. I'm guessing they probably taped a lot of this, if not the whole thing. And again, we don't know where this is going to end. Is it actually going to come up and end in the ring or not? And if there's, you know, if there's no crowd around or anything, they could totally tape it at any point. So I really honestly don't know.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be completely taped cinematic, because I feel like the Inner Circle is still going to win no matter what, but I feel like it's going to be cinematic. It's already taped. You know, you're going to have the giant spot that you said, DP, where it's, you know, someone's going to bring a ladder or a table, or hell, they might go crazy and have the barbed wire trampoline from the last time that we had an empty match and whatnot, but it should be a good match. The end maybe near, maybe far away for this storyline, but it should be really good seeing people that are in this match.
I'm going to predict the ending of this match, and I have the Elite going over thanks to Vanguard, whatever, 3, 4, 7, whatever version of Vanguard it is. Vanguard almost gets the pin, or either Vanguard gets the pin or leads directly to Matt Hardy getting the pin on Chris Jericho and some justice and some up-and-comings for the actions of the Inner Circle.
Justice? Vanguard didn't return the shirt to Jericho. Him hitting him is the justice.
The shirt was returned. They had the shirt. They laid the shirt over Vanguard.
After he destroyed it?
Did someone leave it in the dryer too long? Is that what happened? It got really tiny.
No, it was supposed to be small for Vanguard.
Okay. I must have missed that one.
Vanguard was supposed to be... was introduced to joining the Inner Circle, and then Vanguard just flew away with the shirt like an ungrateful person.
Do you think the Inner Circle are going to have their own drone to attack Vanguard Dose?
Don't make me dream.
Oh, I like it. I think that's coming. I think it's coming.
There you go, folks. Vanguard to be heavily involved in the finish of this match. We're hoping that's taped. What if the majority of the stadium part is taped, and then like they play parts of it between matches that it's still going on out there, and then they cut to like that, and then the ending is like in live in the ring where they come through. I would like to not see this be all together at once. I'd like to see it be split into segments throughout the pay-per-view.
Are you saying it's going to be like WrestleMania 8 with Roddy Piper and Goldust?
Here we go.
Yeah. That's what I want to see.
Just when they think they got the answers, I change the questions.
This is the match that I think will end the night. And not only to get over your secondary title, which is named after the network you're on, TNT, you also have none other than Mike Tyson coming back to present this and to be ringside, along with Arn Anderson and Jake Roberts. You talk about the amount of firepower that's out there. Lance Archer is the biggest, most intimidating, cool-looking guy that's going to be out there, and he is going to be the low man on the totem pole. I can totally see this title going both ways. I can totally see Cody not getting a title, but I can totally see Cody being Mr. TNT Championship, right? He holds it, like, that's the only belt he ever holds until, like, his last match he finally wins the AEW Championship and retires, considering what, you know, stipulation he put on that match that he had, right? So if I had to pick, I'm taking Cody, and I'm looking for this, if done right, to be AEW's best match so far and the one they look to top moving forward.
It definitely depends on what they do with Mike Tyson, I think, right? I you got to imagine Tyson's going to get involved somehow, right? He's going to take a swing at somebody, knock somebody out. If that's the case, usually he's going to go after the heel, right?
Do we see Mike Tyson get his one AEW match because he helps Cody win here and he ends up having a match with Lance Archer? Think about getting Archer over, beating Mike Tyson in some way because Jake Roberts tripped him, and then Tyson knocks him out afterwards and looks cool, and he has the AEW match, and that's why he's been training. No kangaroos, maybe some Doritos. I don't know.
Doritos on a pole match. We'll see.
I can tell you this show hasn't been trending on the website. This show hasn't been trending on the website, the actual DWI podcast, although we get a lot of people that listen to it. But if you look at the trending articles and shows on the website, it's just the top five. When we said Mike Tyson fights a kangaroo, well done by DP, we were in a number two trending link on the website for a while. So nice. No Frankie DeFalco show this week, real quick, while I'm thinking of it. We're going to get back to that next week. We'll have a lot more to talk with the godfather of Bruce City Wrestling, Frankie the Thumper DeFalco. Until then, go to BruceCityWrestling1.com. That's BruceCityWrestling1.com. For tickets on sale now, June 20th, Elks Lodge. Go there. Only so many seats available. DP?
Yeah, get them now. Everybody's going to be 6 feet apart. Get your tickets now. yeah, I'm kind of 50-50 on this one, too. I'm really leaning towards Lance Archer winning this thing because that's just, you know, he's just on a roll right now. I love what they're doing with him and Jake Roberts. I think they're doing some awesome stuff. But I could also see Cody winning this thing because, yeah, Cody being the face of TNT, of the TNT Championship on TNT is perfect. And it would set up, you know, if Mike Tyson does get involved in the match somehow, that he would help, in a way, help Cody win and could set up something if they wanted to do Archer and Tyson in a match. But I could also see Mike Tyson pulling a heel move and knocking Cody the F out, you know, and him and Arn Anderson against Tyson there could be a fun little feud to watch if they want to do it. So I'm kind of leaning towards Lance Archer. I think he's going to win this thing. I think he right now is just one of the best characters they got going. I think that's something that Cody does best is make it like same thing as his brother. He makes people look amazing. And with Jake Roberts on Archer's side is just a fun duo that they have going. I really would hope they keep that train pushing forward and he holds us onto this TNT title for a little while. So I got Archer taking this thing.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, Archer winning this. I mean, what bigger way, since you have Mike Tyson, he's training and everything, punching the executive of AEW, and he gets his name in more main story medium, trending on Twitter, etc., than him actually being the heel and knocking Cody the F out. So I see Archer winning this. I see shenanigans afoot because, you know, Jake the Snake in the Grass is always around, and they kind of teased Arn and Jake might have a match later in the future. So who knows, maybe. I see Archer winning this, I see Jake getting a hand in this, and I see Tyson definitely getting a good hand in all of this. Curled up in a ball and just swing.
Final thoughts on the Double or Nothing pay-per-view. tonight, as you listen, tomorrow as we record, gentlemen?
I mean, expect a lot of good matches, expect a lot of things that you might not see, and maybe some fun surprises, especially with that ladder match. We don't even know who it is. Might be Gulak, might be Legend, might be even Rusev. Who knows?
Yeah, I think, PC, you mentioned it earlier. It's a really good looking card. A lot of good potential show stealers, a lot of good matches on the card. I expect some really good wrestling from a lot of these matches, maybe hopefully some longer matches, but really, really good wrestling, I think.
All right, before we move on to a little bit of the trivia, let's hit two notes real quick. One, Kurt Bauer tweeted out that he has finally come to a deal on MLW's future as far as streaming service goes. Now, I texted with one of the upper management of the Chair Shot, and that person's response was possibly Netflix. So wouldn't that be cool? Since Netflix is looking to pick up some wrestling content, I do believe. If you could just go and stream MLW over on Netflix. If not Netflix, where do you guys think? I don't know. I thought Amazon Prime was trying to acquire some stuff like that or already had. I know Hulu already shows the rebroadcast of Raw and SmackDown, so I doubt that they would be looking to get more wrestling unless that's doing really well for them. But there's plenty of things out there. Do you think maybe HBO Now wanted it? That could be something that's May 27th. I mean, that's 5 days from now. That could be really cool. I mean, that to me, thinking about that right now, that could be a very good possibility.
I could see, what about ESPN Plus adding that to some content?
I got them all. I got Prime, I got Hulu, I got ESPN Plus, I got Disney Plus, I got Netflix, I got, what did I not mention yet? I got them all.
If you wanted to chill, I got
HBO. I'll have HBO Now when it comes out, because if you have DirecTV or satellite service and a subscription to HBO, you get HBO Now streaming for free. The only thing I don't have is the Apple one. Sorry.
Apple TV. Oh, and that's funny because I just got an Apple TV box and it came with 1 year free of Apple TV Plus. So
look at that. Nice. I got Apple. So I have Apple TV.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I don't know where else it could go. Vice, I know Vice TV was doing the Dark Side of the Ring stuff. I don't know if they're trying to get into any more streaming stuff at all. I don't know if they do that. I don't know if that DAZN is still around.
Vice has done a lot of stuff with
Fight TV.
Vice has done a lot of stuff outside of the wrestling with HBO on some specials, right? So you could see Vice being a part of HBO Now as well.
Could be, too.
Throw the Dark Side of the Ring in with MLW, you have kind of a really nice cornerstone of wrestling content.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely see it going on any streaming service, really. I mean, Netflix would be nice because, I mean, who doesn't have Netflix? And they did have Lucha Underground when it was still going popular and all that. They were going a season prior to what they had, but Netflix would be nice. Amazon Prime. I mean,
Netflix also had Glow. They did that Glow thing, too.
Doesn't CBS have an all-access streaming now, too? I mean, I feel like NBC is going to have one. You know?
NBC is starting one now, so
Peacock. I think the better question is, what doesn't have streaming? Like, the fuck?
Well, that's going to be the whole thing now. I mean, you're eventually not going to have satellite or anything else. You're just going to have this giant broadband that everybody's going to be on, and it's going to be probably 1,000 times bigger than what it is now. And they're going to have to come up with new ways of security, but you're just basically going to have Wi-Fi, and you're going to pick what you're going to want to watch. And your TV, much like now, you download apps into your TV, and that's it, you know? I mean, shit, I can see this. Your computer is going to be Bluetooth with the screen. That's it. You're going to have a keyboard, and the screen's going to Bluetooth to it, and you're going to have a little box for your computer, and whatever screen. DP's got his 110-inch projection. Everything's on there. He just lights up the keyboard, and if he wants to be on the computer, there it is. If he wants a TV, there it is. If he wants a video game, there it is. I mean, that's what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're already there, really, for the most part.
Yeah, we are. We are. Exactly.
It's just only getting worse.
So, My hat's off to MLW. They have a great crew over there. I mean, I really enjoy what they do. Shout out to a great, great friend of the show, very good acquaintance of mine, AJ Kirsch, doing a phenomenal job on commentary. Make sure you follow him on the Twitter. It's everything's AJ Kirsch. He's been doing some really cool stuff during the quarantine. He's been selling off some cool memorabilia at a decent price. He's been doing online workouts. He's been doing some Zoom classes on interviews. They've all been excellent. The guy has a lot of wealth of knowledge to expand to you. I mean, he won the fucking Rock promo of the year, for fuck's sake. You know, so make sure you go over there. Shout out to the Brosif over there. And you know, check out AJ Kirsch. So before we move on, let's stick with a little bit of the more higher up companies other than WWE. And I know AJ is our NWA man for thechairshot.com. He does some great stuff over there, covers everything that's going on. And we'll have to get Thunder Rosa back to actually talk to our NWA guy. And I want you to tell us all about Carnyland, though, because it's something different from NWA.
So with all of the stuff going on, and I mean, I'm pretty sure we're all stuck in the house and whatnot, NWA decided, hey, we're gonna do a cute little thing called Carnyland, where not all of the wrestlers, but some of the wrestlers are citizens of Carnyland, and they'll have their own segments, and they actually have something for each day. Granted, I think the times vary, but it's Tuesday is your usual day with Carnyland at 6:05, just like normal NWA Power. I believe I actually have a picture of the schedule. Yes. So Tuesdays is Carnyland. Wednesdays is Inside the NWA, where Billy Corgan and the other executive producer, Lagana, goes over everything NWA. Thursdays is one of my personal favorite wrestlers having his own talk show. Eli Drake, yeah! Having his own show on Thursdays. Fridays, you'll have the women of NWA doing Girl Power. And on Mondays, you will have the world's champion, the national treasure, Nick Aldis, doing his little podcast, What's Caught in Aldis, on Mondays. So they're definitely making sure NWA is on the map in the social medias and everything.
So is it going to be, so what does it look like? Is it like wrestlers at home doing something, or how are they kind of showing this, I guess?
So they're doing it on YouTube, on the NWA Power, or just the NWA channel, I guess. And the wrestlers that have their own individual shows, so Eli Drake and Nick Aldis, they're going to have inside their own house. I know Nick Aldis for episode one is going to have one of Tunney's favorite discussions, TNA, talking to Crimson, and I forget who else off the top of my head, talking about their old gimmicks over there, good old Brutus Magnus and Amazing Red's little brother Crimson. So I know they're doing that for What's Causing All This. Eli Drake is basically spouting what's going on in his head on Thursdays. I caught a little bit of it yesterday where he gives a little touching tribute to his experience with Shad. Rest in peace. And in his nice little way of, like, all of his experiences and things that are going on that happened to him in his career. I know they talked about NXT. I know he talked about a couple of other things and other promotions that he was in. And he actually put a little thing, I know on Facebook, I don't know if anywhere else, where he was asking the fans who actually like the Eli Drake, the Sean Ricker page, if you want to do questions. So you might actually see my question on next week's episode. I'm not going to disclose what, but...
Oh, look forward to it.
Fine, I'll disclose it. I asked
him if he had... Oh, just wait till next week. Wait till next week.
All right.
That's perfect. You stopped it. I asked him if he had. That's excellent. That's great radio. That's a good tease, if they will. All right. Well, I just want to shout out to Thunder Levin, the writer, director of Sharknado. Speaking of Sharknado, I think that's what Bandwagon Nerds is going to end up being reviewing for a B-movie coming up here. I've seen them all. I don't know if any of those guys have, so make sure you go over to thechairshot.com. Yeah, the guy liked my tweet. I said, I've seen all the Sharknado, so you guys have fun with that. That should be a great show. Check that out right there on thechairshot.com. All right, folks, you've been waiting all week for it. You've been waiting all week to get your brain teased. It's time.
Alrighty, again for the third week in a row, it's the phenomenal Funky Facts. And DP's looking to solidify 3-0, it looks like, maybe?
Three. I feel like three, I have a peel in for both of the last two contests that haven't been heard yet. I feel like I should have won both of them. This is total BS!
I feel like you should shut up.
The words of Bulldog from Frasier. I already got the Big Show sheet flipped. I'm ready to fucking win this one. You don't have a goddamn clean sweep. DP don't know shit today.
Who knows? Especially with that third little mystery door. Could be wrestling, could be sports, video games. Who knows? It's whatever I see fit. So, Le Commissionaire, you have been on the losing end of the last 2 weeks. So I'll let you have first pick. Door number one, door number two, or door number three?
I want to start with door number three, Bob. Sorry. All right. AJ.
Ken. I was about to say, this Bob isn't Marker. Hot as war.
Bob Eubanks.
All right. Rick Holmes. So it Rick is going Holmes. To be a...
Rick Holmes is a dumbass. One time, DP and I were... Like, I don't know, it was like a freshman year of high school, and he was over by me, and I had rented Family Feud, you know, big trivia guy, love the game shows. ZP's like, yeah, pop it in there, let's play it, let's see what's going on. And it was items in your bathroom, and we kept naming them, and we got pissed off at the game, and so I typed in Ray Combe is a dumbass, and it went, ding, Combe!
Oh my god, well, I mean, it works.
Still remember it 25 years later.
Yeah.
Oh boy! All right. So all right, this is a wrestling question. It's all right. It's a nice little, cute little trivia in the past. So
all right, we're ready.
Past trivia. It is a wrestling question. So, under the WCW banner, who was last United States champion under the WCW banner?
Oh Jesus.
Any random name.
Can I answer with a theme song?
Oh, you know it?
If you know it.
Go ahead, DP, you can guess. I have it written down too.
Okay. I have no clue. I'll go with Mark Jindrak.
Dunny? You seemed so confident.
And I'm wrong?
And you're wrong.
Wrong.
Tell me.
I thought he held both of them.
You did not just say that.
He held both of them. They got rid of them. It was Hacksaw Jim Duggan who found it in the trash can.
No! The last holder of the belt, he was the last show. It was him.
And it was thrown away, and he found it in the trash can.
Where? By the end of the WCW show?
At the end of the WCW show.
God. But he was officially the champion? It's not in the record books. I'm protesting again this week. This is obvious!
You were close, Booker T. You were close.
Oh, bite me.
Hey.
All right.
Sorry, this is trivia, Tunney. This is Commissioner Tunney. That's trivia, Tunney.
This
He's
is
got to deal with it.
This is trivia.
I'm
Commissioner Tani's interjecting. This is total BS! This is Trivia Tani!
Trivia Tani with the good old fuck what we're recording on, fuck Cornette, and fuck AJ.
I am I'm officially protesting this.
I have absolutely no idea what's going on.
All right, DP, door number one or door number two?
Numero dos, por favor, Kent.
Numero dos. All right. It's the other wrestling question.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Look at that.
I actually have these written down over here.
Oh, wow. We keep getting the... I have a good job of saving the...
Right? Save the miscellaneous for last every time.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You'd be horrible against us in rock, paper, scissors.
So... We're going to go with it. WWE trivia. So don't worry. You guys might know it. You might not.
Could be Booker T again.
It might be.
I'm going to just answer Booker T for every one of my answers. Eventually, I'm going to get it right.
So.
If it's who the first United States champion was.
Fuck no, I'm not doing that. That's. No. I said it was WWE. Come on.
No, for WWE, when under the WWE banner.
It sounds like something I do, but
save
no.
Save that for a later one.
It's actually trivia. There is one man who has the most runner-ups. We all know that everyone remembers the guy who wins, but who has the most runner-ups?
Royal Rumble, most runner-ups.
Royal Rumble, runner-ups. Runner-ups.
Now say that times
five. Royal Rumble, runner-ups. Yeah, okay. Oh, brother.
Yeah, I don't know about that, dude. Cool. This question fucking blows.
Oh, shit.
Mainly because I don't know the answer.
Hey, I got one of two. Shit. Damn it.
All right. If you wanted to put two, Tani, if
I'll
you
go
have
here.
To one go.
I'll go here. I think, I don't know. This is probably
wrong. I'm wrong. I know it's the other one. It's the other one.
Seems logical.
All right, let's see them answers. Of course, Tony puts down fucking Booker D.
No, he put down Randy Orton. Did, underneath it.
he scratched it under and it says Randy Orton. Yeah.
Booker
but
T was
it's actually
answer.
Neither of them.
Yeah, it's Triple H, isn't it?
No.
Oh, okay, good. That was my other guess.
Rey Mysterio? Shawn Michaels?
See, the cute little hint, especially with the Royal Rumble runner-ups, Roman Reigns has the Royal Rumble runner-up record of 4.
Wow.
Beautiful alliteration. This is coming from an advocate for the administration that allocates alliteration all across America. Oh.
But yes, Roman Reigns has 4 runner-ups in the Royal Rumble when he faced...
When will Roman Reigns return winner 4 times Royal Rumble runner-up?
Royal Rumble runner-up Roman Reigns return in the
go.
Royal...
Well done. Royal Rumble, there you go. There's your answer. Wow, it's the only thing we've gotten right so far. DPP, we are fucking horrible today. And screw you, by the way, AJ. This is Trivia Tony. Yeah. Screw you! This is Tobias! DP's gonna get this last question right magically somehow, and I'm gonna fucking lose again. It's some bullshit.
Doesn't matter if it's trivia DP or if it's regular DP. I'm always angry, so just like the Hulk.
That's fair.
Crap. It's totally yes.
DP. Fuck you and fuck door number one.
Number one, football and video game trivia. Technically, they're melding into one.
Oh boy,
because we're talking about Madden. And there was the hint, Madden. So we'll help you on that one.
John. No.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Da, da,
3 time. Da, da, da. So everyone knows how helpful the hit stick is in the Madden games. When was it introduced, though? What Madden game was it introduced in? What the fuck?
Where is he going? You can't cheat. He's probably got the actual game that it actually came from. He still got it.
don't know if people heard that, but it was Tony just dropping his headphones and he's going, oh, I don't
know. Make a run for it.
Pencils down. I don't got this right. So I don't know. I just had to check.
Had the hit stick.
Oh, boy. All right.
Madden 14, that new.
Way earlier?
It was way earlier.
I don't know. 04, I meant. 04.
There you go.
I'm right now, aren't I? No, I'm right. Now, you have a dilemma.
It was Madden 05 with Ray Lewis as the cover boy.
Oh, so close.
Look at my answer again. It says that even on there. Did you miss that? Look at
it. Oh, it Ray Lewis. And he spells Ray wrong like Ray Mysterio.
Well, that's how you should spell it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wrong. You erased that and went back. Mine still has the original stuff on it.
I didn't erase anything. Look, it's just, that was a 5.
You're a liar.
You thought it was like a 1, but it's just you couldn't
like two
see
boobies,
the rest
5.
Of it.
Give them boobies nipples
two
and
boobies.
Then put it back up there. That's two boobies 5. Shout out to Satchel McFlippins.
Do
we have to have a tiebreaker question?
Boobies.
Yeah. You'll have a tiebreaker.
I'm just going to say 2001 was closer than 2014.
It's got to be a closest two. You got to make a closest two. You got to pick like a number we're shooting for and the closest two it wins. That way there's no tie on the tiebreaker.
All right.
Let me play you some music while you're thinking about it. I don't know. What is my question? Searching for a question. It's a tiebreaker. This is the theme song for the tiebreaker now, and now it's over.
I mean, that's fair. Oof. I like that actually, as the tiebreaker. Nice Flight of the Valkyries.
Da, 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 6. Da, da. 17. 34. 89.
05.
It'll be a wrestling question. Relax you.
Right. 864 days.
God damn it, no.
That's too many days in a year.
I don't think it doesn't right. really work when we give the all answers right. before the questions ever.
Exactly, because you might have gotten it right and you might second guess yourself. No, it's going to be a wrestling question. I'll be nice. It'll be WWF.
The Ray Lewis? 2005 Ray Lewis, spelled right.
God damn it, no. All right. Everyone knows the good old corporate ministry.
Ugh.
The combination of the corporation and the Ministry of Darkness. Who was the only female member in the corporate ministry? And we're not going to do...
Nope.
No, we're not going to do Jeopardy.
Nope.
Whoever goes first. Whoever thinks of it first. Whoever says it first.
Oh, there you go.
It's a tiebreaker. Oh. Come on.
Troy?
TP?
What?
Well, if I'm right, I win. I said
it
first.
You said it first.
If you're right, and you're not, so...
Oh.
Going well, to then you can... Then if I get it, I can say something else before I might think that.
Oh, man.
Come on, 90s. Late 90s.
Stephanie McMahon.
No.
Nah, she didn't count.
Yeah, she was. She was abducted.
She was in the corporate ministry.
I can't remember her name, damn
Linda?
It.
Linda? Was it Linda?
It's not Linda.
Oh. I thought it was Linda. Was it, You can't remember her name.
I can't remember her name. There's no way I'm going to get it.
Describe her to me and maybe I'll get it.
I'm not helping you.
Well,
Nicole Bass? Was it Nicole Bass?
It was not Nicole Bass.
No. I mean, close. I'll say close if you want to think of Nicole Bass.
Yeah.
Close. Giving the hint if you look.
I don't think anybody's going to get it. Beth Phoenix?
Jacqueline? It wasn't Jacqueline, was it? Ivory?
I almost
China.
Wanted to disqualify. TP said it! China!
It was China? China was in the corporate ministry?
She was paired with Triple H the entire time. Up until the... McMahon...
Whatever. I got the first two questions, so just... Fuck this game. Fuck AJ. Fuck DP. Fuck that soup. This is Trivia Tony saying this is totally yes. Whatever. Stop playing your victory music. I gotta end this segment.
Victory.
because of the insane amount of horse shit from that trivia fucking contest that we held every goddamn week, I can't even watch reruns of Two Time anymore, okay? You get how you've affected my life, so let's just go to a goddamn commercial.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy, King Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Folks, head on over to Angry Lemonade. Head on over. We're having problems. This is a tongue twister episode. Head on over to angrylemonade.net. Make sure you use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save. Right over there, angrylemonade.net. And in addition, go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot this weekend. Promo code MEMORIAL to save on some of our best CHAIRSHOT t-shirts.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
DP, four champions, one match. It's time for Last Call.
Last Call. Alcohol.
What do you mean it's Last Call?
What do you mean? What do I mean? It's the last thing we're going to talk about. And ladies and gentlemen, this Sunday, Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning will be teaming up to take on Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson in a round of golf. If you're a football fan, you're watching. If you're a golf fan, you're watching. If you're a sports fan, you're probably watching. If you know a little bit about pop culture, you're probably watching. There ain't shit on TV, folks. That's why these streaming services are just lapping in the bucks right now. But actually, this Sunday, we're going to have some great live content. That's right. None other than the Tiger Woods will be teaming up with the Peyton Manning to take on the Phil Mickelson. And yes, AJ, newly acquired Buccaneers QB who won't even go 500 this next season, Tom Brady. How forward are you guys looking to this event and see some of the action that's going on between these guys, some of the competitiveness? I think this is going to be a real cool event, and it's all to raise a lot of money for a very good cause. I'm pretty sure it's for COVID relief. AJ, will you be tuning in Sunday?
I'll definitely be tuning in Sunday. The nice Manning-Brady rivalry, along with Tiger Woods going up against Mickelson, two golfers that pretty much the world knows, as long as you have a modicum of understanding of golf. So it should be really good, should be really competitive, and come on, it's sports. It's the most sports that we've gotten in a while. Watch it.
Well, and you're talking about not just golf, but you're saying, like, all of sports, all sports entertainment, even just, you know, the general entertainment world knows these guys and knows who they are and what they do. Peyton Manning, all these guys have been over everything, not just, you know, golf, football, SNL shows, just, you know, all over the place, all over the world of the media. So it's definitely going to be an awesome event. It's going to be fun. I think it's going to be really entertaining. You got some really entertaining guys that can make for a fun Sunday afternoon. It's going to be a perfect day to sit at home because, especially in the Midwest here, it's probably going to be raining. It's Memorial Day, you know, and you're off on Monday. What else better to do than to sit back and watch some probably entertaining golf and just an entertaining show, even if you're not necessarily a golf fan. It's four iconic characters that can just have some fun out there and bring some joy into a COVID world where there's nothing else to do. So
before we get out of here, and we had a great show today. We covered a lot of things. I mean, we started with the IC tournament. We got into Double or Nothing. We had a really nice preview there at Double or Nothing. Some MLW news, what streaming service are they going to end up on? We hit the NWA Carnyland, which is something really interesting that they're doing. The only bad thing we had was some horseshit trivia again. I don't know. I mean, you know.
It's just against you. I swear on the notepad it says, fuck Tunney.
Yeah, well, there you go, folks. I mean, I fucking told you so. All right. Speaking of ESP, let's speak of ESPN things and just wrap this up quickly because it kind of relates to what we're seeing, some live event this weekend, something that we can bite our teeth into. Granted, no fans or limited amount of people. What are your thoughts on these major sports carrying through with their seasons without fans? Are you okay with that? I mean, the NBA is looking to come back here in July. Major League Baseball is looking to start up with an abbreviated season. The college ranks are looking to have it delayed, considering state-to-state things.
But what are your thoughts on sports returning with or without fans moving forward?
I mean, I see it actually. The viewership is going to help a lot because, you know, a lot of people are just scratching at the bit, literally clawing themselves, just trying to get that sports fix. Whether you're watching ESPN or, you know, watching old MLB or NFL or, hell, even hockey matches, just everyone's wanting to see what's going on, and I think the no fans thing is going to be all right. I mean, I know, and it's not the most popular sport in the world, nor will I say it ever will be, but I know NASCAR started opening up their racetrack this week at Darlington.
And yeah, they had races in 8 days.
Yeah. They decided, hey, we're going to do the no fans. We're going to have a drone flying around the track to show everything out. And I know on Twitter a bunch of different things just said, like, hey, NASCAR's pretty good. Rooting for this sponsor or this guy if you're an old fan or if you're a new fan. It's like the flashy cars, I want that to win. So definitely the no fan thing is helping NASCAR at least. But with other sports, it should be perfectly fine.
Well, I'm just hoping that they're taking the temperature of all the cars before they come in there, because I'm worried that, you know, once they start bunching up, you know, if there's an accident, you're going to be really close. You're not going to be 6 feet apart. I'm all for sports being able to come back, obviously, because I totally miss it and I love watching them. And I'd be absolutely fine with having no fans because I'm watching it from home anyway. So I just want to see the event. I want to see them get out there and do their thing and entertain us. Obviously my worry is to make sure that they're going to be safe too, because obviously they want to get back to work, obviously, to make, you know, and keep making some money too. But I also want them to be safe. They're obviously going to be the ones that are going to be, depending on whatever sport, you know, banging into each other and being in close quarters and everything. And they're going to have to make sure that everybody's safe, because if somebody comes up and tests positive like we had, you know, and then everything's got to be shut down. Everybody's got to be safe. So that's the hardest part, is how do you do that in that environment? So I hope it comes back soon. I really do, because I 100% miss it. I want basketball back, because we, not only just because the Bucks are having an awesome year, but I love watching basketball. That's my favorite sport. And, you know, it's just, it sucks that we can't watch anything. So first and foremost, figure out how the players can be safe as well, and then bring it back. I'm all for it, even without, you know, if we don't have to have the fans. Let's just make sure we turn those mics down, because from what I understand, they are very filthy out on that court. So
how awesome is it going to be for the NBA with those guys so you can hear them talking shit? Yeah. I mean,
put it on pay-per-view.
Yeah, returns on HBO or Cinemax or something.
Yeah, I'd watch that. I'd love to hear their shit, their trash talking. That'd be awesome.
Right? Right?
Oh, boy.
Let's hit up the social media here and get the hell out of here. Great podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening. My name's PC Tunney. You can find me at PC Tunney and all over thechairshot.com and a whole number of things. Most importantly, I want you to head over to @3_manweave. Check that out Tuesday. We got the sports branch going on. We're expanding the entertainment branch, bandwagon nerds, etc. Look for more bigger, brighter things coming in the future as well. But I just want to pop that off real quick. Check out the sports. We did a great job with Last Dance, and Ray Cash and Blatt and myself are going to keep it going. And we're going to have the Chair Shop personalities on. We're going to have some sports people that I know personally. You'll be surprised. So make sure you check out that podcast. AJ, where can they find you all over the social interwebs?
They can find me on the Twitter machine at PhenomenalAJB, and you can check me on thechairshot.com doing everything NWA related. Like we said prior, Carnyland coming out, daily stuff, so you'll definitely see me covering all of it every day. Check it out at thechairshot.com.
You can find this show at Podcast DWI. DP, you can find that other places as well.
You can find it on Facebook at facebook.com/DWI podcast. You can also find me all over the worldwide social media interwebs at It's Me, DPP. Check out the aforementioned Bruce City Wrestling with Frankie DeFalco. Check out BruceCityWrestling1.com and check out Bruce City Wrestling on Facebook as well. It's an awesome follow. You can see a lot of
promos from some of the wrestlers, especially right now with not much being able to go on. They're cutting some good promos, some fun stuff going on there as well. We mentioned Bandwagon Nerds. You can find me on there as well on Tuesdays. And PC Tunney also mentioned the expansion of sports and entertainment side of it, and we're hoping for some more entertainment sections to come and things, so stay tuned for that as well.
Hashtag foreshadowing, hashtag possible spoiler. And for the 229th time, you've been listening to another edition of the podcast known as
DWI.
Happy Friday. Kayfabe. Non-kayfabe one.
Extended weekend.
Yeah, every Memorial Day, bitches.
Happy Friday. Non-kayfabe. Happy.
Ladies and gentlemen, PC Tunney here. Thanks for sticking around after the DWI podcast. On behalf of thechairshot.com and the DWI podcast, myself, DPP, and AJ Belaz, a couple thoughts here before we go. RIP Jerry Sloan, who passed away, NBA Hall of Famer, one of the most underrated coaches of all time, 15 seasons with the Utah Jazz, 2 Western Conference championships, and 15 winning seasons. Not only was he a great coach, he was the first player to have his number retired by the Chicago Bulls. He was one hell of a player. Unfortunately, the condolences to the families and RIPs continue. RIP Shad Gaspard. Thoughts and prayers go out to his family and Jerry Sloan's family. Speaking of Shad Gaspard, a guy we all know so well from Crime Time with JTG and just a phenomenal father, husband, man in general, incident in the ocean where the waves coming in, asked the lifeguards to save his son first. The last thing they saw was the wave come over him, found him days later. RIP Jerry Sloan, RIP Shad Gaspard, our deepest sympathies, our thoughts and prayers out to all of those families. Thank you again for listening.
Yo, 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 Shad Gaspard and JTG, it's crime time.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn.
No more Hollywood, this is Hollywood, and it's crime time. Be scared, you probably should. I come from the streets, I was raised in the gutter. I run up on your mother for that bread and butter. Mess around with these crooks, get your property took. Robbing is my job, I get paid off the books. Marvin with my squadron, coming to stomping. Brooklyn, Brooklyn, who want problems? I could care less about a copper. They call me the copper stopper. I bet you want something proper. No need to pack your bags, no need to move.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.